From the heartland of America and the gateway to the West, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be, across the nation, around the world. I'm George Norrie. Welcome to Coast AM. Next hour, live to the United Kingdom, we will go. The dead are talking. I'm looking forward to this program. Well, the big story, of course, continues to be the wildfires in Southern California. A major wildfire that has scorched now thousands of acres and destroyed hundreds of homes, evacuating close to a million people in Southern California, has been declared now as arson. We talked about this last night, about the strong possibilities. This, according to the Orange County law enforcement agencies and FBI officials. Officials said there is a $70,000 reward for information leading to an arrest for those responsible for the Santiago fire in the rugged eastern part of the county. The Orange County Sheriff's Department said that no search warrants have yet been served and there are no suspects in custody. The FBI has become involved in the investigation because part of the fire was on federal land in a national forest. A thick plume of smoke rising skyward out of a flaming canyon in Orange County signaled, though, the first hope of containment for the firefighters battling Southern California's ravaging wildfires. The vertical movement of the smoke showed that the fierce Santa Ana winds that had whipped the Malibu brush fire into a 426,000-acre inferno were starting to ease. 16 fires burning for 4 days across seven counties, stretching from Malibu north of Los Angeles to the Mexican border, have killed five people, destroyed 1,500 homes, consumed 426,000 acres, or about 665 square miles, and forced, again, almost 1 million people from their homes. The largest evacuation in the state's history, and more than 70,000 homes remain threatened. On the line with us now, Steve Gregory, reporter with our affiliate KFI in Los Angeles. He is in Lake Arrowhead. Steve, what's the situation where you are?
George, great to talk to you again, my friend. It is right now, this fire up here called the Slide Fire has more than doubled in size in the last 12 hours. This thing is up to 10,800 acres. The scary part about it, 0% containment. Even though those Santa Anas have died down a bit, as you mentioned, and the temperatures are starting to drop a bit, and they're expecting a little humidity in the air in the next 12 to 24 hours, but this fire now is 0% contained. It has destroyed some 200 homes. And 10,000 homes are still threatened.
Steve, they're talking about the possibility, the strong possibility of arson now, something we talked about last night on the program. Are they thinking about arson for all the fires now or just a few of them?
Well, the way the situation plays out, George, is that there is arson suspected in a great number of these fires. But you got to remember, a lot of these fires were jump-started by original fires. The embers have blown from one fire to another fire. Some of the fires are a little more separated than others. I was in Santa Clarita the last couple days, and up there, those spot fires were actually, one of them was caused by a welding accident behind a gas station in a construction zone, and then the other one was arson. But then another one was started by blowing embers from the original fire. So they've got investigators perplexed right now because they've really got to get those investigative teams in there to try to determine points of origin.
All right, Steve, keep us abreast of the situation, will you?
Thanks, George.
All right, that's Steve Gregory, reporter for KFI. He's out there in the Lake Arrowhead area. A powerful earthquake rocketed western Indonesia before dawn Thursday as we come up to a full moon, jolting people from their sleep, sending them fleeing by car and foot. Authorities briefly issued a tsunami warning, but the feared wave never came. This was a 7.1 magnitude predicted by none other than Jim Berklin, who's on the line with us right now. Jim, how are you?
Pretty good. I'm just, you know, in Southern California, they also had a quake, and that's the last thing they need is seismic activity.
How big was that one, Jim?
4.3 near Ridgecrest this afternoon. And that was within 125 miles of Los Angeles City Hall, and I'd said there'd be such a quake within 140 miles of Los Angeles. So two of my four predictions have already hit on the first day of this eight-day window that runs through Halloween.
Jim, is there anything unusual with this time period because of this full moon?
Oh, yes. This is the Hunter's Moon, and it is the largest, brightest moon of the year because the moon is not only lined up with the sun, moon, and earth, but it's also at perigee, the yearly closest approach. This month's perigee is the closest approach of the year, so it makes the moon look bigger than normal. And it means the gravitational stress is higher than normal. We're having an 8.3-foot tide at the Golden Gate on the 27th, and that will be the highest since June. And these last 2 months, now this is the third month in a row with the full moon, that we've had an incredible number of large earthquakes. And I think this will make some of the skeptics start to pay attention. We've had 14 major quakes this year, and 13 of the 14 have been in a seismic window associated with a newer full moon. And we've had four great earthquakes of more than 8 magnitude, and the normal year's supply is 1.
And we're not out of the woods yet.
Oh, no, it's getting worse, as a matter of fact. The November tides will be higher, 8.7 feet, and in December, the tides at the Golden Gate will be 9.0 feet, within 0.2 of a foot of the maximum possible. And each foot of water adds a load of about 1 million tons per square mile. And so we have 9 million tons for every square mile along the seacoast. Figure there's 500 square miles in the San Francisco Bay and Delta and up in Puget Sound. And it's a bit scary. And we're certainly overdue for large earthquakes in the state. The world has had this an ample supply. But California is below average in large earthquakes this year. Oh,
a little overdue. What's your website, Jim?
It's Syzygy Job, SYZYGYJOB, .com. And if they would like a sample copy of my newsletter, and I just mailed out about 300 copies, send it to Jim Berkland, P.O. Box 1926, Glen Ellen, California, two words, G-L-E-N-E-L-L-E-N. The zip code is 95442. And I'll put a couple of dollars in there, and I'll be very happy to send them a late copy of my newsletter, and they can see more of my concerns about this year.
All right, very good. Jim, thanks for the update. I appreciate it. I just got an urgent email from Dr. Sky. He said, George, big news tonight. Comet 17P called Holmes, H-O-L-M-E-S, was visible a few nights ago, only to the largest scopes, but now it has exploded, or it has shed some material by 500,000 times. The object is now visible to the naked eye, even with the full moon. So it is out there somewhere. I haven't had time to go out and look for myself, but if you want to see a comet that may have exploded or a piece of it, it is called Comet Holmes, H-O-L-M-E-S, up there in the night sky. Man, what a night. And this bizarre story. David Copperfield may have designed part of his show around a system for picking up women, which may explain the FBI's interest in his camera and hard drive. Last week, the FBI raided Copperfield's Las Vegas warehouse, seized digital camera equipment and a hard drive to a computer after a Seattle woman accused him of molesting her in the Bahamas. During his show, Copperfield goes into the audience, chooses women to come on stage. If he likes a woman, according to TMZ, he'll use a code word with assistants like mama and secrecy. The assistants mark the women on a map of the inside of the Hollywood Theater at the MGM Grand. And after the show, the women are brought backstage and told that Copperfield may use them in his show when he comes to their hometown. Then they are photographed with a digital camera, asked questions like, what's your favorite men's cologne? Where do you like to vacation? One of those vacation spots mentioned by the staff is the Bahamas, where the accuser claims that she was assaulted. Copperfield owns a cluster of islands there, which he bought for $50 million. His attorney has reissued an earlier statement saying it is important that these allegations be put into perspective. Discovery 7 astronauts conducted a painstaking inspection of the space shuttle, focusing especially on three wing panels to make sure possible cracks spotted beneath the shuttle's protective coating hadn't worsened. We've heard about this before. China has launched its first moon probe, an initial step in its ambitious 10-year plan to send a rover to the moon and return it to Earth. On the coasttocoastam.com website under Hot Stories, a company in the United States has developed a car that can easily beat traffic jams. It also flies. At the touch of a button, the transition from Terra Fugia four-wheel car extends a pair of wings either side of its main body, and off it goes. It's 151,000 miles, cruises at 120 miles an hour in the air, land 65 miles an hour. Researchers at North Carolina State University have produced the world's most powerful antimatter beam. The beam, consisting of an intense burst of positrons, was generated at the school's Pulsar campus nuclear reactor, which first went online in 1972. 68 villagers in northern Namibia were hospitalized last week. Hold your ears on this one. After eating a dog that had been killed by disease. The paper said the dog's owner had killed it after it contracted an unknown skin disease and ordered it to be burned. Instead, the inhabitants of the village insisted on eating the meat. The singer fell ill when flying home to Las Vegas after performing at a September 20th concert in Syracuse, New York. Doctors initially assumed that it was some kind of a bug, but he got weaker until he had to be rushed to the hospital 10 days later. Robert Goulet in a hospital waiting for a lung transplant. And a group of crayfish spared themselves from being eaten. They escaped from a restaurant. It's almost as if they knew what was going to happen. They were in the German city of Stuttgart. They were calling in, police were calling in when the crayfish escaped from an Asian restaurant. The escape attempt was noticed by a pedestrian who spotted the crayfish scuttling down the street and notified authorities. They had squeezed through gaps in the top of a tank and escaped out the front door. What an amazing story. I'll be on Glenn Beck's radio show tomorrow, 10 a.m. Central Time, talking about a number of issues, including Democratic presidential hopeful Dennis Kucinich's apparent UFO sighting some time ago. Glenn's interested in chatting with me about that. And in a moment, our friend Uri Geller joins us as we talk about his brand new television show, Phenomenon, on NBC. While our friend Uri Geller is the world's most investigated and celebrated paranormalist, he is very famous around the globe for his mind-bending psychic powers and has led a very unique life shrouded in debate, controversy, mystery. His website, urigeller.com. And he, of course, was on an incredible television show on NBC tonight, Phenomenon, that he shares with Chris Angel, the mystifier. Hey, Uri is with us now. Welcome back, my friend.
Hey, George. Hi. Thanks for having me back. In Los Angeles, you know, tired after such a riveting show because it's live and anything can happen on a live show. You know that. And everything has to work accordingly. You know, we have to kind of keep in the right schedule up to the second. There are 10 competitors, 10 contestants who demonstrated their skills. So it was quite an evening. But wait a minute, George, before we talk about this, I must tell you something that I feel from you. And,
okay.
And it is also, I consider, an amazing talent. Look, I've been on television shows and radio shows thousands of times from the early 60s. And I've gone through hundreds and hundreds of interviewers and presenters and hosts. But I must tell you this, and it's a compliment, but it's a real, true compliment. You have such an extraordinary, clear voice. Your syllables are amazing. They're soothing. You have a velvety voice. And it's just so relaxing to hear you talk because every letter, every word that you say is just so crystal clear that I've never encountered anyone who talks into a microphone quite the way you do.
Well, thank you, Uri. I appreciate it.
Now, tell me.
Thanks. You don't have to say that. You know, I do get that every once in a while, but, you know, I've been doing this for such a long time. As you have done what you have done,
but
for such a long time.
Is it natural or you?
It's natural. It's me. I mean, I matured into it, but it's me. I mean, I went to college for broadcasting, but they really didn't teach us what we do now. I mean, there's nothing like the school of hard knocks, and that's to get out there and really do it. And I guess I learned by listening to the great broadcasters of our time, and I picked up little pieces of each one of them, and
so
here I am.
In your opinion, the greatest broadcaster of our time.
Oh, my gosh, Uri. Of course, listening to versions and tapes of Long John Nebel out of New York.
Yes, he interviewed me.
Yeah. Oh, did he?
Yeah.
Like,
what about, how did you like Orson Welles?
Orson Welles had that deep voice, that resonance, a classic. Mm-hmm. You know, and when I did watch or listen to War of the Worlds,
yes,
I picked up on some of that. You know, Art Bell, of course, in his own unique way, mm-hmm, is a giant. And I just kept picking up little things, people I've worked with in just created the image of who I am. But heck, enough of me, Uri. This television show is phenomenal itself. You're looking for the next great mentalist.
Correct. And I'll tell you how it started. I was in Israel a year and a half ago on an unrelated matter, nothing to do with television. I was negotiating with the Palestinians to sign an amicable deal with Israelis, and this is a humanitarian project. It was to do with the Palestine Red Crescent and the Israeli Magen David Adom, which is the equivalent of the Red Cross. And a producer calls me up, and he says to me, "Hey, Uri, I've always wanted to do a show with you." So I told him, "Look, come over to my hotel." And we brainstormed, and suddenly we came up with the idea of me finding a successor, of finding a new Uri Geller. After all, you know, I'm an Israeli. I was born in Tel Aviv, and it was the best country to produce such a show. And he put this television series together. We found 10 amazing mentalists and performers. And when it went on live, it broke the historical viewing records in Israel. There were no people in the streets. Everyone was glued to the television. And then we took the concept, the format, to MIP TV. That's in Cannes,
right,
France. And NBC got it. And it was one person who believed in it. It was Ben Silverman, who is the CEO of NBC. And when people asked Ben, "Why did you take a show with Uri Geller? Isn't Uri Geller steeped in controversy?" And Ben said, "Well, look, when I watched The Successor, I had goosebumps." And basically, he's a visionary. He knew that a show of this nature could make it very big in the United States. So that's in short how it all began.
Well, and I think it will be very successful. And the question is, can you find the next great mentalist? Is it possible out there?
Well, look, first of all, in my opinion, the biggest mystifier today on this planet is Criss Angel, with no doubt. He is so phenomenal, and, you know, I don't care how he does what he does, but he has such a persona, such a mesmerizing effect. He is riveting, and the fact that he agreed to do Phenomenon with me is amazing. And I'll tell you why, George. You see, for decades, I kept away from magic because I was never a magician. My
right.
repertoire is very narrow in what I do. You know, I do the watches, fixing watches, reading minds, bending spoons. And basically, that's where it stops. And I didn't want to associate myself with magicians because I didn't want people to believe that I'm a magician.
Right.
Of course, I was attacked throughout the decades by skeptics and cynics. You know the story.
Well, that's the controversy.
The controversy was great for me. I mean, the skeptics are, I always say, well, some skeptics are fools, because Oscar Wilde, and I think I told this to you once, 100 years ago, Oscar Wilde said many great lines, but one line is brilliant for me. He said that there is one worse thing than being talked about, and that's not being talked about.
Stay with us, Uri. We're going to take this quick break, and we will be right back with Uri Geller. And later on this hour, because we've got him for the next 30 minutes, we'll open up the phone lines. I'm George Norrie. This is Coast to Coast AM. We'll take your phone calls with Uri Geller in a little bit. But we've got him right now. Uri, tell us about tonight's program. What happened?
Tonight was quite astonishing because there were some acts, there were some performers that did mind-blowing feats. For instance, there was a performer called Eran. Eran produced 6 nail guns. And you know what that is.
Oh, yeah.
And he called up a celebrity, and she loaded the nail guns with nails. And he basically had to read. He didn't see, obviously, where the nails are, which one gun had the nails. And then he put the nail gun to his head, and she read out the numbers from 1 to 6. And he claimed that he could hear the number of the nail gun that had the nails in them by the way she pronounced the numbers. Now, this is a very dangerous feat. And NBC on a few occasions said, do not try to do this at home. Don't ever try to do this. So you can imagine it was a riveting, riveting show. My verdict to Eran was that I basically said, and Chris Angel in a way agreed with me, I said that his performance created drama, danger, and suspense. And he actually managed to instill in me fear, serious fear, that he will get killed right there on live television.
Oh, my God.
And every time he tries to do this feat, he's taking a major, major risk. Now, some magicians will probably say, well, it must be a trick and so forth. But come on, whatever it is, there is still a big risk in this. Something can go wrong. You know, so it was just mind-blowing. And my verdict was, in the end, I said, verdict, mind-blowing. So those are the things that we saw tonight. And then there were other avenues. There was a guy from Israel who lives in America now called Ehud Segev. And he managed to transfer thought waves of Carmen Electra. You know, she's quite a well-known celebrity.
Oh, absolutely, sure.
Yes, and another guy, Ross, who does the Jay Leno show. Do you know Ross?
I do not know him.
Yeah, he's just very, very funny. And so there's so many amazing acts. There was another guy called Jim Carroll, who calls himself the Psychic Master.
I know Jim very well. He's been on the program
really?
A lot, Ernie. Yes, dear friend.
So he used the bear trap to get his hand, you know, snapped by the bear trap, and he managed to control the pain while reading, I don't know how, telepathically or with intuition, what Hunter, she's another celebrity, wrote on a board that he has not seen. So me and Chris Angel basically monitor the performances. We give our verdict, but the ultimate judges are you people at home. So tonight, I think America saw astonishing acts, but two performers will go home.
That's incredible. And this is going to be a regular weekly series? How
yes,
often will it,
yes.
will it be on?
Because in Israel, it was on for 10 weeks. In America, it will be on for 5, because next week on Wednesday, this is NBC prime time. You know, it's 8 o'clock every Wednesday. We're going to have a 2-hour Halloween special. And that's about it. Now, look, the reason, I'm sorry to bring this up again, but you didn't let me finish. The reason I brought up the skeptics before, not all skeptics are nasty people, obviously, but it's such an irony that 35 years ago, Johnny Carson invited me to his show.
Yes.
And I thought I was a young, gullible, naive, you know, broke person from Israel who thought that by getting on Johnny Carson, I made it in America. Anyone who got on the Johnny Carson, wow, that's it. And I didn't know that Johnny was an amateur magician. And I walked into a trap. He set me up, and nothing worked. And George, I sat there for 22 minutes, humiliated.
Yeah, you shook like a puppy.
I did.
Didn't you?
And
yeah.
I was sweating. And the only thought that went through my mind was, Uri Geller, you're finished. Pack up and go back to Tel Aviv. And I went back to the hotel that evening, totally depressed. The next morning, the operator calls my room, and she says, Mr. Geller, there is a guy called Merv Griffin on the line, and he wants to talk to you. And I said, Merv Griffin? Are you serious? Is this the Merv Griffin? And it was. And Merv said, hey, I saw you on Johnny Carson. I want you on my show tonight. And then it was Mike Douglas, and then it was Mike Wallace, and then it was Tom Snyder. So controversy is great, you know, as long as you spell my name correctly. It's priceless. And basically, this is why I'm still around. And so here I am, NBC, Johnny Carson, 35 years ago, and the show comes out from Next Door NBC 2007.
Yeah. How about that for synchronicity? And yeah. Friday, last Friday night, my guest was Ed McMahon.
Really?
So, yeah, you talk about synchronicity.
Oh, wow. I know him. You know, he was on every Johnny Carson show.
Infectious laughter, Uri. I'm telling you, when
really?
He started laughing, everybody laughed.
Wow. Do you know that I was even interviewed by Jack Paar when he came back?
Ah, that's a long time ago,
yeah,
isn't it?
He came back to do his comeback.
Yep.
I came on the show with Edgar Mitchell, the astronaut.
Yep.
And Jack Paar, I bent a nail, and Jack Paar started crying. He walked off the show and never came back. This is true.
He was noted for crying, but I didn't know he cried then, too, because you bent a nail?
Yes, something like that happened. And, I had a very unusual television shows, but certainly Phenomenon is the biggest thing that I've ever done. I've done big shows in Japan, 30, 40 million viewers and so on. But this is NBC. This is prime time. So I'm very flattered. For me, this is an honor. When I hear the mentalists telling me, hey, Uri, we're like your children. You started mentalism off 40 years ago. It's great. Great to be back in the United States.
Well, let's take some phone calls when we come back from this quick break, Uri. And do you want to start some broken clocks again? That was an incredible experiment.
I know. Let's take some calls and see if anyone saw the show tonight.
All right. We'll be back in a moment. Uri Geller, our guest. Phone lines are now open. We'll be back. Okay, I'm back with Uri Geller. In the remaining moments, we'll take your phone calls, especially any of you who saw the NBC show Phenomenon tonight with Uri and Chris Angel. I'm not sure Chris Angel's from this planet, Uri. What do you think?
I'm not so sure either, but I'll tell you what. When I came to do the promo for Phenomenon, I met Chris Angel for the first time. And I thought that a guy like him will be in the clouds because, you know, he just signed, I think, a $250 million deal with a Luxor Hotel in Vegas. And he's so huge in this country. I mean, a person that goes out with Britney Spears and Cameron Diaz, and he's so cool that I really thought that he will not be approachable. But I have met the most wonderful human being. There's so much warmth in him, and I met his mother. He came with his entourage, and he brought his girlfriend, and his mother came, and it was like a big family, and that's Chris Angel for you.
He's real.
He is real, down-to-earth, charming, nice, intelligent, and an amazing mystifier, number one mystifier in the world by far.
Now, those are the people that everyone should associate with, Uri. It rubs off.
And whoever is a Chris Angel fan, I'm telling you now, this guy is a mensch. You see these things he does on YouTube, floating, levitating between two buildings, walking on water, tearing people apart in a park. I mean, the talent of this person is limitless. And he comes up with all these ideas, yet he was so humble. I mean, in the dressing room there, we took pictures, and he spoke to my daughter, and he met my wife. And, you know, we spoke a little Greek because he's kind of a Greek origin, nice
right,
Greek.
Right, right.
So, yeah, it was a treat. Just the fact that he agreed to do Phenomenon is major. And I hope that the ratings were good. You know, we had baseball tonight. So
It'll build. You know, these things take time, too.
Exactly. And, you know, George, if you will allow me, please, after a radio show like yours, or yours, especially yours, I get, and I'm not kidding you now, I get hundreds of emails. So anyone who wants to email me, get on my website. It's urigeller.com. You'll find my email address. I travel with a BlackBerry. I get all my emails on my BlackBerry, and believe it or not, I personally answer them. It's not going to be a long answer, but I answer every email.
You and let me tell you something, and testify. When I first met you 10 years ago, you were in St. Louis at a book signing at the Jewish Community Center. Mm-hmm. I walked up to you. I shook your hand. I said, I'd love to get you on my show. You were very busy. You were very polite, and you gave me your email address. I sent you an email. You responded back instantly. I couldn't believe it. And you and I have remained friends ever since.
Yes, we have. Also, a little plug for a documentary that I just created. I know the name sounds bizarre. It's called Staya Erusa. But I really advise everyone, all your listeners, to get the DVD of Staya Erusa, because it is a film about consciousness, and it's not a profit-making venture. Every penny that we make from this film will be plowed back into making movies about consciousness. So there is a direct link from my website to Staya Erusa, and it'll blow your mind.
Excellent. We're going to give out Uri's website one more time right before he's off the air. Let's go to the phones west of the Rockies. You're on with Uri Geller on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi, this is Elaine from Cul-de-sac, Idaho.
Hi, Elaine, go ahead.
I have a beautiful antique mantle clock which belonged to my parents, and it has not worked since we moved here 5 years ago. Mm-hmm. And I was just wondering if maybe he could try to fix this for me.
Well, I'll tell you what we'll do. Moments before we go off the air, Elaine, we'll have Uri just take about 30 seconds to do what he does.
Okay.
And you just listen to his instructions, and we'll do what you have to do. But get your clock ready.
Get it ready, and if it does start ticking, then tomorrow, after tomorrow, make sure that George knows about it.
Absolutely. Wildcard Line, you're up with us on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hey, it's Joe from Columbia, Missouri.
Hi, Joe. Go ahead.
Hey, I had two questions for Ari. The first one was, which was his favorite act tonight? And the second one was, could he tell that Gun 5 on the nail gun exhibit was the gun based on Carmen handling the guns and when she put the clips in?
Wow, I didn't know that. My favorite act was that, Iran's with the guns, because it was just so mesmerizing and so scary. And I'll tell you this, I have no idea how the guy did it, but I also don't know how, you know, Chris Angel does his thing. What I was also looking for, Joe, is not only the act itself, but I wanted to see the personality in the person. I wanted to see the character. I wanted to see charisma. I wanted to see the mesmerization effect. All those fall into my verdict when I decide what to say. And unfortunately, the last act with the telephone book, I had to kind of knock the guy, because to me, everyone was amazed by it. They just didn't know how he got the numbers from a telephone book. I won't go through the act because it was quite long, complicated, and complex, but most people were amazed. To me, a telephone book act was quite dull and flat, because I've seen so many acts of this nature. Yes, he put a spin on it. He threw frisbees into the crowd, and there were hidden messages there and so forth. But, you know, I have to be straight and direct. If I don't like something, I will say it. And I
look at Simon on American Idol. I mean, if he doesn't like something, Uri, he tells him.
Yeah, well, that's what I did tonight. And I don't know how he feels now, but that's it. Hey, I have to be impressed. I've seen a lot of things in my life, George.
I want my, like I said before, I want goosebumps. I want my hair on my arm to stand on end. I want to be so impressed to know that the next great mentalist is somewhere and is someone who is an incredible performer with amazing and astonishing acts.
We might have time for one more quick question for Uri, then we'll quickly have him do his clock experiment. Get your watches or clocks ready by the radio. Save yourself some time. Wildcard Line, you're on the air with us. Hi there.
Good morning.
Good morning. Go ahead.
Good morning to you, Uri.
Hey, good morning to you,
and
too.
Good morning
Thank
to you,
for
Chris,
calling.
From Georgia.
Yep.
I enjoyed the show. It was very wonderful.
So you watch Phenomenon?
Yes, I did. It's very wonderful, and I look forward to watching it.
Yeah, Halloween night, next Wednesday, is a two-hour special. Tell me, which was the favorite for you?
I love the one with the nail gun.
Yeah, well,
see that's that?
It.
Same one. That one's, yeah. That's it.
But look, George, give me about 30 seconds now. All the
Go, people, yeah, let's do it now.
Yeah, all the listeners, and I know, again, this is a bizarre experiment, but I'm only the catalyst here. I'm just an enabler. If your watches start ticking, you are the ones who are going to do it. So pull out your broken watches, hold them in your hands, and although they are broken, please wind them up if they have a winder. And together with me and George, I'm going to count 1, 2, 3, and we're all going to shout the word work. And believe that your timepieces that are broken will come alive. Here we go, 3 times. 1, 2, 3, work. George, I want to hear you too.
You got
1,
it.
1, 2, 3, work.
Work.
And the last time, 1, 2, 3, work.
Work.
Now, open your hands and look at the faces of your watches and clocks. If your second hand is moving, if the clock started ticking, please let George know. You know, email, fax, telephone, whatever. If nothing happened to you, don't be disappointed, because this doesn't happen to everyone, doesn't happen all the time.
Uri, if even one broken clock starts or watch, to me, that's pretty darn good.
Thank you. And thanks so much for having me on your show.
Give us your website one more time.
It's www.urigeller.com, U-R-I-G-E-L-L-E-R.com. And on it, you will find Staya Erusa, the most amazing documentary that I've ever produced.
Uri, lunch is on me. I'm back in L.A. in a couple weeks, so we'll get together,
Absolutely.
Okay?
I love you all, especially your listeners.
All right, you take care. That's Uri Geller, and of course we'll take him to lunch somewhere, but we will not give him any spoons for soup, because the restaurant will probably throw us out. But as he said, if your clock or watch starts up, send me a fast blast, send me an email, george@coasttocoastam.com, and I'll read a few of them sometime tomorrow. I'm just curious. You know, we've done this before, and it worked. And it worked so well that one day we had a repeat show. We played Uri Geller, and darn if those same things didn't happen again, even on the repeat. People who are listening live to the repeat had their watches and clocks start. It really is incredible. Good luck on Phenomenon, you and Chris Angel. Hope it works. I know Tommy's working on getting Chris Angel in the studio, but he'll probably quickly disappear. I'm George Norrie, back in a moment with our special guest, Ross Hemsworth, as we go live to the United Kingdom, because the dead are talking.